Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. After helping her beloved dog, Haley, transition into the afterlife in 2007, in the comfort of home, today's special guest, Dr. Joanne Lefebvre, was guided to create Haley's Angels Veterinary Services, the first home euthanasia service for pets in southern Arizona, which she felt was Haley's legacy. Dr. Joanne has specialized in end-of-life care and counseling for the past 12 years. She has helped over 10,000 families find peace and closure in regard to their pets' illness and passing. Dr. Joanne grew up in Canada and graduated from veterinary school at the University of Montreal in 2001. During her senior year of veterinary school, she completed several externships in highly reputable schools such as Cornell University, Tufts, Colorado, and Ohio State Universities. And she published her first book titled Animal Teachings from Haley's Angel Methods and is currently writing her second book. So we're going to talk to her now. This is something I think we've all sort of pondered this or had this incident, you know, this issue in our life or know someone that has. So this is going to be really important to listen to. Let me introduce you. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Randy.
And I know you're also vegan and you're, you know, you say your life purpose is to inspire all animals and humans to live in balance. Let me just start off by asking you, I happen to be that way, a vegan vegetarian. Why did you decide to do that, and how long have you done that?
I've been vegan for about 12 years. You know, when actually the timing was when Haley died, when our 14-year-old dog, Haley, needed to go to heaven, and I helped her pass peacefully at home, and it was a big moment in my life. I just started looking at the world very differently, you know, kind of I stepped out of the reality. I was very sad. I was very devastated to lose Haley, and I kind of stepped into the spirit world, you know, kind of detached from the current society and just look at everything very differently. And so that's when I realized, you know, what I was a part of. And, you know, eating animals, and I just decided, like, no, everything's going to change now. I'm going to really embrace all animals. I want to help them. I want my footprints to be loving only and positive. So I've became even more, sustainable, eco-friendly, reading labels on all the beauty products that I use, make sure that there was no animal testing, no animal product used to make some product to make the beauty product. And just, zero, I'm trying to become zero waste, all around, just living a life of balance. Like, animals are teaching us really sustainably. When you look at them, they always have the best answers to everything. And that's kind of how my book was born. Also, just animals inspiring me and pushing me in the direction that I didn't know I was going towards, but it was clearly the way to go. And Haley kind of led the path when she passed, and people started calling me to go help their pets at home. And it was all her doing, and I had to learn to surrender control of your own life, because when you realize animals know more, animals have always given me the best answers, better than people have been able to guide me. So I decided to, let's just follow that path, because it's full of love. It's full of, it makes sense to me. And so I felt Haley's presence from the other side. That was my first spiritual experience in my life. And I had to follow. And it's been just blessings since that point.
Let's talk about that experience. What exactly did you experience when you and Haley came to you?
She was asking me to do something better with my life, to start going to people's homes, to change my practice to going to people's homes to help their pets pass. And it's just that people started calling me. I feel like the universe is, there is no coincidences. Everything is kind of orchestrated, and signs of guidance are showing up in nature. And so I felt Haley's presence. And every time I would brush off the idea, my brain would take over and say, oh, I'm scared. I don't want to do this. This requires so much paperwork. So I need to learn so much about things that I don't know. I'm going to end up alone at somebody's house. What if it doesn't go well? I had to really... this was all new to me. I was a younger veterinarian. I had only worked with other veterinarians, so I always had somebody to back me up. And so I had to really look deep inside of myself to find the strength and find the tools. And I gained a lot of confidence. And so it became, again, people were calling me, and I knew the need was there. And I had just lived it myself. I had just given Haley the best passing possible. And I, although I was sad, I was so comforted by the way she passed. And, my husband and I were at home. It was as good as it could have been when you lose somebody you love. So I wanted to give that experience to other people and families. So that was what was pushing me. And again, every time I would try to brush off the idea, I was receiving another sign from, like somebody would call me or I would read something, you stumble across an article or something that just, and then I finally told Haley's spirit. I said, okay, if you are truly there and I'm not crazy here, please help me make this go well, and I'm going to try. And so, that was the beginning of an amazing journey. You have to get out of your comfort zone, and animals are very good at pushing you out of your comfort zone. But when you embrace the challenge, the teachings are beautiful. So I'm so grateful that I have dared, and that became to snowball. You conquer one challenge that was difficult, and then you're ready for the next one, and you're ready for the next one. So in the last 12 years, since I learned to listen and get out of my brain and really connect with my heart and nature again, like children do, as a child, I was like that. I was much more trusting into going with the flow, but as you get older, you become more scared. Your brain gets in the way of overanalyzing everything. So I finally found that place again of, okay, animals take it one day at a time. We can't over worry about tomorrow. Let's do the best we can. And so going to people's homes all these years, I've learned way more than I ever thought I would learn from this experience. Not only I gave to these families, but I've learned so much. And so then the time came, so in about a 2 month period, I received about 5 phone calls from authors to come help them and their pets. And I didn't know they were authors, you know, but I show up at their house, and I don't know what people do for a living, but somehow, again, you know, the universe had orchestrated this. So these people would kind of share little bits of wisdom with me, so I would know where my next step is, and that was to write a book. I had learned so many things, and I knew I had to find an outlet to share, because those were not teachings from veterinary school. You know, they were spiritual teachings, animal teachings, just amazing, putting it all together. As a doctor, I had learned to care for the body, the mind, and the soul of animals, but also people, you know, being with those families, and they would share with me how their pets gave them signs that it was time to go to heaven, or they got dreams guiding, you know, dreams of guidance, or a loved one who had passed on came to them and helped them make the decision. The rest of the animals in the household have made it clear when it was time for one of their friends to die or to be helped. You know, I learned like amazing, amazing things. So I, from one author to the next, I realized, okay, you know, we're climbing the next mountain here. Okay, let's do this. You know, I'll do the best I can. It won't be perfect, but I'm going to at least try to share my message with as many people so we can help as many animals as possible. So it's been good, you know.
Yeah, was Haley your first dog?
She was my
personal.
She was my first with my husband. My husband had rescued her before I came along, and so she was our first pet. She was our first child between the two of us, you know.
Okay.
I grew up with animals, but Haley was a different. I was older as an adult. She was my first adult pet, and she. She didn't like me at first. She smelled the veterinarian, so she was on her guard. But I think she sensed that she could make me a better person and a better veterinarian, and she did. She was an amazing dog. She was the best patient. She taught me, you know, to really be gentle, and every time, you know, talk to your patient, go slow. Every time you draw blood, it's the first time for that animal. Like, you know, human medicine needs to also be more like that, you know, extremely gentle, and when patients, we're not numbers, animals are not numbers, you know, we need to slow down the pace of medicine and really going back to bonding between the doctor, the nurse, the patient, and it's a team effort. It's really a team effort in healing.
So euthanasia is, you know, I guess in the beginning, it was difficult for you. Well, I'm sure while you were in school, you probably had to do this too. What does it feel like to put an animal, you know, through that?
So, to me, like what's the most important thing is what is the reason, like why are we doing this? And I need to have peace with that, because just like any decisions we make in medicine. Sometimes it's the right decision for someone, but sometimes it's the wrong decision for someone else. So I'm a big advocate of treating the patient as a whole and not the disease. So, and I talk about that in depth in my book, you know, when anything that's happening in life, I feel like we have a lot of, the body follows the mind. So if we have a lot of emotional baggage or stress or different, you know, difficulties in life, the body will follow that. So why do we get sick in the first place? Why do our animals get sick? Animals share our life. They are very bonded to us. So they will also pick up, develop the same diseases, you know, and energy blockages, we might call it. So I always find, you know, there's lessons we're learning through illnesses. But obviously, we're all going to die. So that's a fact. So my goal is to help die with dignity, and I want people to die with dignity, and I want myself to die with dignity, because we deserve it and because it's possible. I see how we have much more control than we think over dying with dignity. So everything in life is about balance. Nature teaches us to stay in balance. So same thing, you know, the timing needs to be right for dying at the right time. The medical field have become so good at keeping the body alive, you know, and sometimes it's wrong because the soul is ready to leave. We've reached at the end of a chapter, the end of a life, and there is science also that tells us, you know, scientific, it's been scientifically proven that we're more prone to dying on our birthday, and it makes sense. The life cycle is completed, you know, we are born on one day and then we die on that same day. It kind of completes the cycle, and I see that in animals also. So that's one sign that I use to say, okay, when we have this quality of life, end of life conversation, we have to look at all the signs from all angles and involve the patient. So involving the animal too, we get a sense based on their personalities, how do they want to be cared for? Again, same exact thing as people. I hate medical torture. You know, medical torture, we don't need to go that far. That means we've gone too far, you know. So trying to really listen to all the signs that make us make the right decision at the right time. So dying is much easier when we recognize that there is an exit door when it's the right time. You know, when you see how many people die when, you know, their loved ones are in the room, they're watching over them 24 hours a day, and then they take like 2-minute break to go to the bathroom, and that's when the person dies, you know.
Right.
And I see that a lot, and people get upset because, oh my God, I wasn't there. Well, animals have taught me that it's much easier to die when you're by yourself, you know, when you don't have all these loved ones keeping you here, you know, when they tell you, I love you, I'm going to miss you, I don't want you to go. It's much harder for the soul to detach. We've become so bonded, those energy bonds are so strong, so I encourage families to tell their animal, I love you, but please go, free yourself, I don't want you to suffer, I'm giving you permission. And so when we give our loved one permission to let go and we give them some space, you know, in the wild, animals will retreat from the pack, they'll go hide. So in our house, often the dying animal will go hide in the closet, will go hide in a weird spot, you know, that they're not used to. So that's a sign also that they are detaching slowly but surely. So just having this powerful talk with our animal, I've seen how it can be so powerful for the animal to just die naturally and without suffering. You know, I give them a window of time. Obviously, I'm so grateful that we have the medication because what's worse than dying is suffering. And some animals, just like people, even though you give them permission to let go, they have such a strong bond and they can't let go of their people. You know, they're here, their life purpose was to protect, was to help their owner get through a divorce, get through an illness. You know, some animals are taking their job so seriously that it's very hard for them to be able to take care of themselves and say, okay, I'm gone. You know, it's all about personality. So some animals can go quickly, just like people. Some others, it will linger. So obviously, when it comes to euthanasia, to me, it's such a blessing. It's giving someone the best gift of freedom and with dignity, you know, saying, okay, I see that you're struggling here and there is no more learning. There is nothing positive happening. We're just stuck. You know, the soul is stuck in the body and is having a hard time leaving. So if we can facilitate that passing, it feels great. You know, to me, it feels like we're helping someone go back home with the spirits, with the angels, and we're ending suffering. So it's positive. It's beautiful. It's a celebration of life. You know, when I go to people's homes and people get to really personalize that ceremony, and people will play music, and people will invite other dogs, they'll have a ice cream apple pie party with all the dogs, you know, that have known each other, and then this, you know, sick one gets to go to sleep gently, peacefully with medication. It really is beautiful.
Wow. Wow. So you really, that was a good explanation and really sort of takes the sting out of that word and the way that, you know, most of us feel about it. Has anyone ever called you to their house to euthanize their pet and you felt it was not the right time?
Yep, there's been some situations, definitely. I can think of one that, you know, when we talk about signs of guidance, and I got to the home, and right away, Mom, you could tell, like, she was questioning, and there was some, the energy was not flowing. So I'm always, you know, looking for all the red flags, and this cat was really aggressive and really scared also, and so we started talking, and I was grabbing my medications, and I grabbed one bottle, and it broke, and so that is such a, that was such a sign, you know, that was such a strong sign. I'm like, okay, let's really talk here. Let's go look at our kitty friend. And I couldn't touch him, but he had urinary issues, and Mom thought he was in a lot of pain peeing and different things. And again, he was like a wild tiger, so she couldn't take him to the vet. And so when I go see him, and luckily he was on a tiled floor, I come close and he got scared and he just peed in front of me. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, now we have a sample. And so we didn't. And I collected the sample, you know, took it to the hospital, sent it to the lab, and we were able to medicate him. And so there's been many instances. Sometimes, of course, we're still at the end of life, but today doesn't have to be the day, you know. When things are, again, the energy, you know, somebody needs to come home from a trip, like the favorite person of that animal is not home yet, or we really look at, because it brings a lot of closure for people to be present, but also for animals to have their favorite person there. And so sometimes if we delay it by 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, making sure that everything is right, you know, everybody feels like, okay, yes, we're doing this for the right reasons, and it's loving. Being at home, you know, one thing that I want to mention, because, wow, it was amazing how the rest of the pack, you know, if you have other animals, being present will help them so much also get the closure and the understanding that they need. Because obviously when you take, you know, an animal to the vet hospital and he never comes home, if he has a really good friend that's really bonded, some animals will never get over it, you know, and they can die right. too of heartbreak of just, hey, what happened to my friend, you know? So being right. at home, and even cows, you know, horses will visit the grave of their friends for weeks. So if we can give them that gift also to the rest of the animals, to have a ceremony at home, to do a home burial, if you get the cremains, you know, if you get an urn with the cremains, you can still use that. I've seen how powerful the energy is. I remember one family who had, you know, they had like seven dogs, and the leader died. But whenever the rest of the pack would just kind of act crazy, she would take the owner, would take the urn and put it in the middle of the living room on the floor, and everybody would just settle down. And everybody
really?
Sensed, you know? Yeah, yeah. Oh, animals are so intuitive. They're amazingly intuitive. You know, now we're using them to detect cancer, to detect diabetes. Like, there's so many animals that save people's life. Like, they wake him up from a seizure, you know, they go get help. Like, animals are so in tune, and I think it's just because they are more in their hearts. They're in the moment. They're very in tune on all levels and balanced, you know. I try to empower people to really make their animals shine. So in really understanding who they are and what their life purpose is, because each animal is a unique, different personality, just like people. So the more you become fulfilled, the more you feed your own soul in sharing your passions. You know, if you're an artist, you need to feed your soul with doing your art. So animals are the same way. If we let them show us the way of what they're here to teach us, it's good for them to feed their soul, and they, you know, it's good for their health. And so some animals are definitely therapy animals, and they're little social butterflies, and they need to go to help people in hospice care, or, you know, schools. I have quite a few patients who go to schools to help teach children to read. So children will read to the dogs because it's so much less less threatening than reading to an adult, and children feel more judged from adults. So children will read to dogs all day long, you know. So it's beautiful. They have such a connection. So I have a little vegan activist on my hands living in my yard, which I did not expect, but Wilbur, the 100-pound potbelly pig, showed up and knocked at my gate and a couple years ago, and he said, okay, I'm home. And he's very curious, very he's very smart, so I had to find outlets for him to not go crazy, stuck on 4 acres. Let's face it, you know, he's got the life, but he's already spoiled. But I still felt like he needed more entertainment, so I started taking him out on rides and taking him to the beach, and so he walks on the harness and everything. So I did not expect, of course, that mobs of people would come see him because he's not a dog. People look at him from a distance. Hey, no, that's a pig. That's a pig. So, and he's teaching these people just by being him. You know, people come and pet him, and he sits to get food, and he's got his art. You know, he puts on the show, and then people say, "Oh my God, I cannot eat animals ever again. Like, this pig is so personable." And of course, you know, animals have emotions, and so he's doing his own teaching. And I'm really happy to see that because I am a vegan activist. You know, I want all animals to be well cared for, but I cannot do the job as well as Wilbur can.
That's so cute. Yeah, I know. That's what worries me about eating animals. I mean, it's because they are so intuitive and sensitive, and they know what's going on.
And there is, again, you know, right ways and wrong ways. You know, the industry, the modern world has made it, it's really far from the way Native American would respect their food and have a relationship with the animals that he would eat, you know. So if
right,
at
exactly.
least someone feels inclined to, okay, I need meat to whatever, for whatever reason, at least, you know, I have a few friends actually who will raise their own animals and they are able to euthanize them in a loving way to eat them, which I respect because I'm not able, I would never be able to do that, but I respect that because it's very sustainable. And, you know, I choose to, yeah, I rescue animals and I eat plants and that works for me. So we're all unique and we have to respect, you know, but there is ways to do things. There is better ways to do things, yeah.
I agree. Well said. Well said. What kind of dog was Haley?
She was a Rottweiler mix. Yeah, she was a big girl. And, yeah, her name was Haley. So my husband found her, you know, she was a stray. They've all have found us one way or another. And that's also beautiful when people ask me, or what kind of animal should I get? You know, my best answer is always let animal choose you. You might have a little idea or look online, you know, read about different things. But I always feel like, when someone, if you're open your heart and your mind, the right animal will follow you home. Whether it's a cat, you know, that shows up from nowhere, or if you go to the shelter and you just look at which animal will bond with you and will tell you, you know, hey, I'm it, you know. So that's always, to me, the best relationship. With children also, when families, you know, ask me, well, what animal should I get for my children? And I say, well, you know, take your children to meet some animals and see, look at the magic unfolding in front of you. And it will become really clear what animal is the right one. And it can be a bird. It can be, you know, any kind of animal with, depending on your children's personality or your own needs. You know, I have a client who has a lot of trouble walking, and he is taking care of a kitty that was hit by a car that has a lot of trouble walking as well. And together they are the best team. They make each other feel normal. It's so powerful. You know, animals heal us in ways that just are amazing.
So when we go, if we want to get a rescue dog, and when we go to a shelter or, you know, where these dogs are, you know, I always think to myself, oh, the poor dogs that are left behind. But you're saying that they actually pick the owner. So they know when somebody comes in if that's the right person for them. So not all dogs want that particular owner.
Yeah, I feel like there is, on a subconscious level or on an energy level, there is definitely, absolutely. I mean, if you put a bunch of people on one side and a bunch of animals on the other side, they will pick their right person. I really feel like, you know, we try to control too much what's happening in life, and I think that creates a lot of stress for us humans who need to know it all. So animals bring us back to, no, just one day at a time. Remember to play, remember to take it easy, remember to just sit in the grass outside and look at how beautiful nature is, and then tomorrow you can revisit this, you know. And it's the same thing with end of life, you know. People, I always need to slow them down and say, hey, it's okay. If you don't know today, well, at least we know that we're not going to, you know, do the euthanasia today, so forget about it. go have fun, spend a great day with your pet, and just focus on the love that you're sharing, the bond that you have. And tomorrow we'll get more signs. You know, your pet will tell you. And I encourage people to talk with their animals and ask them for a sign. Ask them, tell them what's going on. Tell them that we're discussing, you know, sending them to heaven and we need their input. And it's amazing what happens, truly. It's amazing. Some dogs will just jump up, go get their ball, and go outside like, yeah, today is really not, this is not the right time. And I still have spunk in me. So there is much more than what meets the eye. It's really fascinating.
That is fascinating. Wow. I love animals. I don't have any currently because I just don't want to be tied down to that. But I absolutely love animals, and I really connect with them. So,
And there's different chapters in your life and in my life, you know. And so it's like a book, you know. So going through life chapters, and you might be in a place where you're busy changing the world in different ways. So that's okay. You know, you can't necessarily, if you're flying around here and there and, you know, you don't necessarily have, it's not the right timing to have an animal, but maybe in your next life chapter when you're settling down or, you know, I would love to have to rescue a bird, like a parrot at some point, because they're just so colorful and they're so beautiful. They're super smart. And I feel like, you know, at some point the time will come. I had my horse. I had a childhood dream of owning a horse, and I knew, you know, since I was a little girl, but it took 40 years for this horse to manifest, you know, to say, okay, this is it. This is the life chapter now. And he was an old rescue horse, needed a second chance at life. So we had two amazing years, and I needed to slow down. I was way overworked, and, you know, all the signs were there, like, if you don't slow yourself down, we're going to slow you, the life or universe will slow you down. And I didn't want to get hurt. I, you know, wanted to avoid accidents, avoid slowing down for the wrong reason. So I gave myself a good break, and this horse just showed up.
Oh.
And I had time, you know, the window of opportunity came up, and we had 2 years of amazing healing together and just playing and being, you know, we forget to just be. And so it was just magnificent for 2 years. And then, you know, he was older. He had arthritis, and he was on pain medications, but he was doing really well. And then one night I had this dream that him and I were flying in heaven. He had turned into an angel. He had beautiful white wings, and I was holding on to his neck, and we were flying in heaven. And I woke up, you know, and I felt like he was home and happy and young and healthy. So then I go to the barn and I find him in pain and just done, you know, telling me, we're done. I need to go back home. Please help me. And so my dream prepared me. My dream gave me the confidence and the strength that I needed, that, okay, he's really asking me. This is his way to really tell me, I'm ready. I need your help. Because it was really, that was one of the hardest euthanasia I've done.
Oh, I'll bet.
So many tears, you know, but they're tears of joy. They're tears of joy, too, you know.
It's hard. Yeah. You go through a major grieving process. It's very, very hard to lose an animal. I had animals, you know, when I was younger. I grew up with them. I had them as a child. I had them as a young adult. But just made a decision that that's not what I want now. So what do you think of the Rainbow Bridge? I find that so comforting.
Yes, I mean, I do believe that we're all going to the same place. I do believe that animals have taught me that we come to Earth in whatever body, that we need to fulfill our incarnation. I've had so many people telling me that, hey, this puppy that I adopted, he's definitely my husband who died. He came back in this puppy, like, they have the same behavior. This puppy tries to bite the people that my husband did not like. I talk about it in the book, you know, it's just, there's so many amazing stories where, you know, people definitely believe that they've known their animals from a previous incarnation, so a human can come back as an animal, but an animal can also come back as a human, and so countless stories on that note. So it's just so beautiful to have that understanding. So when somebody dies, it's not necessarily the end, you know, we'll see each other again. So that I find comforting. So So the Rainbow Bridge, yes, but I take it further in the sense that I don't personally, I feel like animals are not just stuck there. They can come back to find us. They don't have to wait for us at the Rainbow Bridge. They might choose to stay in the spirit form, but I tell my animals or my loved ones, hey, follow your journey, you know, because I don't know what's next for you. If you get to stay in the spirit form and send me little signs here and there, that's great. If you can come back and find me again. Right now, you know, there's dragonflies in my life like crazy. And actually, just they look at me. They look at me weird, like they know me. And yesterday, for the first time, I was outside in the yard and I just extended my hand out, my arm out. And this one dragonfly is huge. You know, they're beautiful, big dragonflies. Just came to land on my finger and just hugged my finger. And it was there for like 30 seconds. And I was able, luckily I had my phone on me. I had time to grab my phone, make a little video, take a picture, and just tell it, thank you. I don't know who you are, but you're bringing me so much joy, so much love, you know. So I kind of, you know, let the soul who dies figure it out. And if they are in a spirit form, people tell me how, you know, their mom who died who loved hummingbirds seems to send them hummingbirds when they have to make really tough decisions about, you know, in life. They see hummingbirds here, like random places, or somebody else whose loved one loved to play golf, and now they find random golf balls in their life in when they have to make, like, it's like a little blink from the other side, like, hey, I'm there watching over you. So that's very comforting.
Oh, I find that very comforting. I'm always looking for signs. You've referred to your book. What is the title of the book, and tell us a little bit about it?
So it's called Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels Method, and it's a guide for better living and better dying for ourselves, our animals, and really becoming one with the web of life and living sustainably, living in harmony, and really in balance. Balance is always the key word in everything. So trying to really find out why we get sick. So I give all the reasons. Truly, I think it's pretty thorough. And looking at yourself and your life and how you can make it better, you know, cleaning up your life by removing any kind of toxic people, toxic anything, you know, so just the material. If you look around your house and you cringe when you look at an old coffee table because it reminds you of bad times in your life or when you were, you know, not so, you were going through difficult period, or it brings you sadness, or, you know, get rid of stuff in your life that is not positive, doesn't fuel you with energy. And so I talk about our animals, how, again, they pick up on all that and how we can help them. End of life, I discuss at length, you know, I try to empower, to give a lot of tools for people to really have the best life and no as little regrets. You know, we're all growing through this journey, and how we can help our animals also, and how we can help society also. I'm with you. You know, when you go to a shelter and you just want to adopt them all, it's painful. I wish I could adopt them all. But as a society, we can definitely help prevent overpopulation for people and animals. You know, my husband and I made the decision not to have children because our life is full with rescuing animals and we're content. And, you know, there is resources are, they're not endless. So we have to just be mindful of working as a team on this earth to really make it the most sustainable way we can.
I agree with you. So you currently live in Florida. What part of Florida are you in?
Well, the north part. Hopefully Hurricane Dorian will leave us alone.
Yeah, I'm right in the path. I live in Fort Lauderdale. I'm right there.
Oh, yeah,
there,
goodness.
It's coming for us. I hope it turns. We're all going to get some of it. But anyway, do you just do these home euthanasia visits in Florida, or do you travel?
No, I cannot travel anymore. So that's been, you know, my trying to regain balance and survive because I went out of, you know, I just went too out of balance. So I'm trying to stay local to St. Augustine area where I'm at, Little Jacksonville, but I do a lot of phone consultations, so I'm always available on the phone or via email or, you know, with all the social medias now. People, I used to live in Arizona. That's where the service started for 11 years, and we had to move because it was just too much and I needed to regroup, and that my horse Majestic was waiting for me in Florida. I didn't know about it, but saved myself, moved, took some time off, and my beautiful horse showed up for to congratulate me. So, but I am very available on the phone. I'm pretty balanced right now. I feel like I'm the most balanced I've been. So I'm always happy to help people over the phone with as much information, advice, and support as I can. So it's
okay.
Easy to
and
reach
do you
me.
Have do you have a website, or you want to give the phone number? How do we reach you?
Yeah, my everything is on my website. So HaleysAngels.com, and it's HaleysAngels.com, and my phone number, email, and all the social media links are on there, so don't hesitate to reach out to me.
Okay, so if someone's having a question about
Absolutely.
Something
yep.
in relation to this, they can just give you a call. That's wonderful.
Yep.
I'm so yep. happy to hear that, you know, that you do this. This is very special, and I'm grateful that you contacted me to have you on, because this is a subject that people don't normally talk about, but you talk about it in such a beautiful way that just makes it, I mean, you just make it such a beautiful experience that I'm just so grateful that you're doing this work. So
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you so much for being my guest. It's really been wonderful. And I hope the tornado doesn't hit you. I mean, the hurricane doesn't hit you.
Well, we have room in our backyard if you need to come our way.
Okay.
Yeah, just let me know.
Yeah, I mean, the stores right. are selling out of water, and Home Depot doesn't have any more wood, to, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, be safe, and thank you again so much.
Thank you. Be safe, too, and thank you.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We are out of time. But if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. RANDIFINE.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.